but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her anymore.
Remember, we talked last week, Jerusalem up to that point is Sodom.
Yeah.
But as a result of the day of the Lord's outpouring of the wrath of God, like it says, from Jerusalem, he utters his voice from Jerusalem, and then shall Jerusalem be holy. And don't sit down. We got...
Oh, she's waiting.
Yeah.
It's not always like that.
But this results in the kingdom 1,000-year reign in or of Jesus Christ. And that's still the day of the Lord. And that's what we're seeing in the text. You just saw where he returns and pours his wrath out and all that. But look what Olivia reads from verses 18 through 21.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim.
Now stop there for a second. Look what she read there. And it shall come to pass in that day. What day? Huh? The day of the Lord. That's all part of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not a 24-hour period. Some people actually teach that. That the day of the Lord is just like the day that Jesus returns and everything. But I mean, you read back, especially in Ezekiel places, when Jesus returns, there's going to be months of restoration going on this planet.
Amen.
And it's not a 24-hour day. It's a period of time. A day is with the Lord as what?
Years.
What? How long is the millennium? It's 1,000 years plus 7 years. That's how, you know. So keep reading there now, Olivia, as I so rudely interrupted. Verse 19 through 21.
Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion.
I was just going to throw this in before we moved on. That last verse should give you chills.
It does.
It's going to cleanse all the blood shed, the wicked killing the innocent. How many innocent babies have been murdered in the United States of America whose blood cries out from the ground, and God says He will have His day? That's the day of the Lord. We look forward to the result of, not the arrival of, the day of the Lord. We will be raptured and in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then when we return, it's the end of that first 7 years of the day of the Lord to establish His kingdom. That's what we're looking forward to. And we're looking forward to the fact that during that 7 year period on earth, that is culminates with the return of Christ, we're not here. Look at verse back at our text, chapter 5, verse 19. This is comical. The Bible, I mean, these prophets use a sense of humor that people miss a lot, but he says, it's as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Now, think of that. You're running from a lion and you're like, oh, I'm safe. And then there's a bear. You're still going to be dead meat. And it says, went into the house, and then you lean your hand up against the wall, and it says, a serpent bites you. A poisonous is an implication of a poisonous, and you're going to die anyway. Think of that. That's what the day of the tribulation period is going to be like that for people. They're going to survive this and survive that and survive this. And think of the people who have survived all the seals and the vials and then come down to the end of the trumpets and then it gets them. So looking forward to the day of the Lord is comparable to those things mentioned. That's just crazy. Millions of foolish people think they can prepare for this. Now, I'm not talking about what are called preppers. It's wise to prep. If you're prepping for the what we call acts of God, you know, and that sort of thing. It's wise to be ready for right now down in Virginia. They're getting terrible flooding. There'll be people without electricity and running water and things for a good while. If they've prepped, then they'll be able to survive and so forth. That's wisdom. But if you think you're going to prep and survive the wrath of God, you're nuts. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, probably one of the biggest prepper cults on the planet. And this is their false prophet, Ezra Taft Benson. Prepare for the days of tribulation. That's how he sounded when he talked. This is another. I just picked a few examples off the internet. Prepare for the great tribulation. I have spoken on this before, but this is my reminder. We will go through the great tribulation. Growing up in the church, a Pentecostal, for years we were taught that the rapture, the resurrection of the saints, will take place before the great tribulation. The Lord has let me know that it's a false teaching. And you know what? That's why I don't want to hear what the Lord's told you. Show me from His Word.
Amen.
Yeah, Johnny.
The irony, though, is as Mormons, it's actually true.
Well, they will go through it, but they're not going to be prepped for it like they think. That's the point. That's the point of all these guys. Not all of them, but a lot of these guys, if you look on their website, they don't believe the gospel. And they believe in a work salvation, so they will go into the tribulation. They're just not going to survive it. They can, and they're not really prepping. I'm going to get back to that for a minute, but here's another one. This is a guy, I got this a long time ago from YouTube. How to prepare for the great tribulation. A guy, a pastor named Castro, I don't know anything about him. This is another book that's for sale. Prepare for the great tribulation and the era of peace. And you're going to earn, or you're going to survive and go into the era of peace. It's just not going to happen. Look what it says in verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? You know, my biggest criticism, my wife will tell you, she probably rolls her eyes every time she hears me listen to it, but I read the Left Behind books, and then they came out with the audio, and I did an abridged version of it because I wanted to be kind of reminded of it. Then they came out with what you call a radio drama, you know, like radio theater. Very well done. I mean, it's very professional. Hats off to him, his first production. But my criticism with the Left Behind series is it is way, way too pretty. How many of you did read any of that? Even if you just read one book. You people are very bad Laodiceans. Did you read some? Well, that's all I was asking. Did you read them?
I did.
Are any of you holding back on me? Okay, there's three. Anybody? Four? Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, you get a little exercise by raising your hand when I ask you. But if you ever read those, or if you have read them, it's way too pretty. Just today, I was listening to part of one, and I think it's supposed to be about halfway through the tribulation period. And this guy and girl are flirting with each other and talking about whether or not they want to have kids, and they're getting ready to go come back to the States and join the tribulation force, and saying, you know, oh, I can't wait to get back there where we can enjoy our time and have picnics and things. You're like, this is not going to happen. I mean, by that time, the whole world has been totally turned upside down by earthquakes and things. You're not going on picnics. It's just, that's my mate. But you know what? If anybody said this before, if anybody wrote real books about the tribulation period, they'd be rated R. And then a lot of churches would criticize them for that. It'd have to be, if it's biblical, it's going to be rated R. Because it's going to be a time of raping, pillaging. You think all these riots, BLM, put BLM all over the entire world, even in the suburbs. That's what it's going to be like during the tribulation period. You do not want to be here for that. Amen? Isaiah 13:6, howl ye. You think about that. When God tells you to howl, that's got to be bad. He's not saying, now think about this. Consider this. Oh! That's what he's telling you to do. How terrible does this have to be for him to tell you that? Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. You and I have never experienced that before. We have no idea what he's talking about. We know it's true. We believe it. But we have no idea what he's talking about. Therefore shall all hands be faint. And look at that. Every man's heart shall melt. I mean, we love to laugh about it when Fred Sanford's like, oh, this is the big one.
This is the big one.
Haven't you been around somebody who's kind of like that? Well, this is going to be, people are going to be clutching their chest in pain from being overwhelmed with what they're experiencing. I have been in two instances where I did that. I actually felt like my heart was being crushed by the event that I was witnessing. And I don't know if you've ever been there. I know, I don't want to bring back the bad memories, but I know Jenny can tell you what it was like when her husband died, and she was told about that. Talk to people who have lost a spouse. Talk to somebody who lost a child. That sort of thing. And there are no bunkers that are going to be able to protect you. There is an entire industry of people building bunkers for tornadoes, whatever, even for nuclear war. That's fine. But if you think you're going to build one for the tribulation period, you're wasting your money. Who's got Revelation 16 back there, Johnny? Revelation 16, 17, 18. Think about underground bunkers in relation to what he's reading.
Okay. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great.
You've never been in an earthquake like that before. I don't care, even if you lived in California for half your life.
Amen.
I don't care if you were in Japan. What year was that? 2002 or something like that? When they had the big earthquake and the huge tsunami? That's going to happen all over the world. That happened in one place. And the nuclear waste that then leaked out into the oceans, there are going to be people getting cancer for generations probably and not realize it's coming from Japan. All the people, think about all the people in the Pacific Ocean in that ring of fire, by the way, where the earthquakes are happening all the time. That's where the nuclear mess went. And all the news media did was just like, what? What nuclear mess? Just pretend it's not there. It's there. Look at who's got 19 through 21. Continue reading as she's reading that. Think about trying to survive with a underground bunker.
And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great.
Now think about all the islands, Hawaii, you know, down there south of Florida, the Keys and all that, and all those islands in the Mediterranean, all those islands are going to be completely moved and I believe just destroyed. We've never had anything close to that in the way of earthquakes. And it said all the islands. It means all the islands all over the world, which means that all the destruction going on everywhere. And as she's reading that, I don't know if you were listening, but you get the idea. Everybody's going to be coming out of the woodwork because your houses, your buildings are all destroyed. If you had a bunker, it's destroyed. So everybody's outside, and then what happens? massive hail balls start coming down on everybody with no place to hide. And I heard a guy explain one time how that would happen, and because if we had that massive of an earthquake, and there'd be so much of smoke and ash and everything going up in the air, it would totally then cause a quick freeze over most of the planet, which then would produce these massive hail balls. The earthquake would cause all the smoke and everything to go in. Anytime, if you read history, anytime there's a volcano or massive earthquakes, a lot of times there are volcanoes, the plume from it covers, like Mount St. Helens when it went off, covers a massive area of the globe, and it causes a lot of problems as a result. But when, what was it, about the time of the founding of our country, there was a big one.
Yeah, for 3 days.
And it caused what they called a recent ice age, a short-lived ice age as a result of it. Those in bunkers will probably just be crushed.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not only, your bunker's not going to survive, but you'll be crushed inside those things. So, people say they're not pre-trib. I just tell you this, I tell them this. I don't believe that you don't believe in the pre-trib imminent rapture of the church. You want to know why? Because I know what I would be doing if I didn't believe in it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here. I'd be living way out, maybe in Montana. And I'd have me a place way out in the middle of nowhere. And I wouldn't have a bunker. I would build the type of thing that you can actually build with materials that can withstand earthquakes and things to a great measure. But you also could build with materials that you can rebuild quickly with. And I'd be out there storing food down it. And now I know there are a handful of people who are true believers who've done that. My brother went to a college. This is going back around, I think, 9/11 when it happened. No, it was before that. It was the early 90s when he was in, or maybe mid-90s. I can't remember why. Why? It was Y2K. That's what it was. And when Y2K came around, this guy, his wife was a lovely lady and a secretary at this college. Everybody loved her. And then one day, she just announced, real humble and obedient, I'm resigning. Me and my husband are moving out to somewhere up like Montana or somewhere out up way North Dakota, someplace like that. And they were doing it, prepping for Y2K.
Yeah.
And I asked my brother one time. He said, no one really ever heard of them after that. They just went out there, and I guess they're still waiting for Y2K. I don't know, 22 years later. But all the people that I know personally who claim not to believe in the pre-trib rapture are doing absolutely nothing to prepare for what they're claiming they believe they're going to go through.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why I think they're full of it.
Yep.
Full of what? Bull snot? Full of it. Bullfish. They tell the kids to get under the desk and put their hand.
Yeah.
What's that going to do? It's a nuclear blast. That is not going to help. It didn't help in Hiroshima or Nagasaki. The guy who invented the EF system that we gauge tornadoes and hurricanes with, he was in what there was another city that they were supposed to bomb, and because of the weather, they called it off and went over to Nagasaki.
Wow.
He was a kid and should have been dead. He tells a story about that. He says, and they told us to do this and that. He said, if they would have dropped that bomb, I'd been dead.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Khrushchev that said, bless him. I was going to do something there. We will bury you. Didn't he do that?
Yeah.
I always wanted to do that. That's my Khrushchev. If I didn't have the beard, I'd probably look like him. He's bald. Anyway, all the talk of prepping for the trib is disingenuous or simply foolish. That's the bottom line.
Yep.
Despite biblical warnings, the unsaved will be caught by surprise. You know that?
Yeah.
All the biblical warnings and everything, they don't believe anything now. All the handwriting on the wall, and you talk to unsaved people, they mock you and make fun of you. Some lady a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, the fact is you're prepped and ready for the Antichrist. Rolling her eyes, you know, just mocking it. Who's got 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3? Go ahead and read that, Jessica.
But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
The world is going to come together as one, just like they sang with, we are the world, you know. And they're going to all come together as one and think there's peace. And they're going to believe that peace has arrived and then sudden destruction. And they're going to totally ignore what the Bible says about it. Who's got, well, I'll say this before they get, Bible believers see it coming. All we're wondering is, when, Lord? How long? But who's got verses 4 through 6? All right, Brian, go ahead and read that.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Amen. We're told in Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Listen, if you hang around with Laodiceans and unsaved people, if you spend your time watching garbage on TV and listen to garbage music, if you spend your time, I don't know, whatever you're doing, if you get caught into that, you get sucked into that culture, then you'll be just as dead as the rest of them. You have got to put some distance between you and the world. You preach the gospel, but you don't pitch your tent toward Sodom.
Amen.
And if you do, you'll end up like Lot's family.
Yeah.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The 7 years of great tribulation are all about the wrath of God on those who have rejected His Son and have then taken the mark of the beast. We have not been appointed to wrath. And in 1 Thessalonians, it's verse 9, verse 10 says, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. So, I'm speaking on behalf of everyone here. We are excited about being kept from it. Amen? And we should urge as many others as possible to join us. Yeah, we're prepping. That's right. We are prepped and ready. Beam me up. All right. So we'll pick up there for our next study.
This is the day. hear.